Welcome to the worship service of Covenant Church. It has been far too long. It is so good to see everyone here. It was so great to hear chatter in the narthex before the service this morning. We've missed you, and I trust you've missed worship here at Covenant as well. Want to mention a couple of things before we get started. First of all, getting restarted. I'm nervous. Are you nervous? It's kind of weird being nervous because we do this all the time, but a little break causes problems. Anyway, we also have some technical glitches. So we were going to have our songs up on the screen, so you didn't have to use hymnals. We will do that tonight. The PowerPoint didn't upload, so we're working out different technical glitches. Please show social distancing, and so it looks like you're doing that. Praise the Lord for our compliance to what the government has told us to do for the most part. We're trying to be as obedient as possible and yet not go against our consciences when it comes to worshiping and stuff like that. When we finish the service after the benediction, we will ask that you will file out the last pew first and just kind of file out like we would if it were a wedding kind of thing, just to exercise more social distancing and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of other details I need to tell you. But we do want to get started, so welcome. We're so happy to see you, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Ted.
Let us prepare our hearts for worship with a brief moment of silent prayer and meditation before we are called to worship. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, holy is your name. It is so good to be gathered together again here at Covenant in your house. May you be praised and your Son exalted, we pray in his holy name. Amen. Well, Christians, let us rise as we are called to worship this morning from Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, again we thank you, we praise you, we adore you. We thank you that we are able to gather again here as your people and in your presence. O Lord, would you bless the worship of your people? Would you pour out your Spirit upon us? We pray in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let us continue to worship together as we sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. If you are comfortable, please use the hymnal number 277.
Thank you.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer
over his church. Would you join me in praying for all of God's people? Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you have promised not to abandon your people, but to be with us always. O Lord, grant us grace to hear your word with faith and to receive you with repentant hearts, and to keep what we hear and receive upon our lips in holy lives. O Lord, you have delivered the saints from fiery trial and raised up the martyrs from the darkness of death to everlasting life. Give us courage that we may give bold witness to the truth in our own day and proclaim Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. O Lord, you have pledged to us your Spirit and promised to supply your church with pastors who will preach and teach your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe your word. Raise up those who will serve your church in generations to come, that we may never be without the aid of those who serve us in your name. O Lord, you have power over all things, and appoint an order on earth for the protection of the weak, the punishment of evildoers, and the encouragement of virtue. O Lord, we ask for your blessing upon our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Give them wisdom for the challenges of our times and preserve them from self-serving concerns. Give us grace that we may honor the gift of liberty and be good citizens and neighbors to all. O Lord, you have compassion upon all who suffer. We ask that you would give grace to the sick, to those with mental illness, to the dying in their last hours, and to those who grieve. Grant them patience in their afflictions and deliver them according to your gracious will. Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Bless those who teach, those who learn, and especially those who graduate this year. Be the hope of those whose plans have been disappointed, and grant that all graduates would find good employment. Guide them in the pursuit of your word and truth, to live honorable lives and worthy vocations, that in all things you may be glorified. Lord, you have daily and richly supplied us with all things for this body and life. Give us grateful hearts that we may receive your gifts with thanksgiving and bring to you our worship. Until we are with you in your presence forevermore, guard us against the devil who prowls like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he might devour. Grant us the power to resist him and trust in you without fear, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing together, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," hymnal number 295.
Thank you.
ask you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 10. For the last 3 weeks, we've been in Deuteronomy, a break from what we were doing before we went into this period of lockdown. The last 3 weeks, I addressed in what we've been calling Moses' sermon here, three main things that he's been addressing. The first one was what they had learned in the wilderness, and then the fact that God was faithful to the people, even though they were unfaithful. And then last week, we dealt with the golden calf. This week, we're going to look at what I believe gives us a solution to the problems that Israel kept facing in their unfaithfulness, and solutions for us as to how to be more steadfast in our devotion to the Lord. So our passage is Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to pick up, down in verse 12. This is the word of God. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner. Therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank you that you have given us your written word, that we might know your revealed will, that we might cherish it, that we might live by it. And now as we come from the preaching of that, or the reading of that, which is holy and inerrant and infallible, to the preaching of your word, we ask for your special blessing, that you would send your Holy Spirit to help the preacher and help all of us who will hear, that we might hear from you through this message this morning. We pray these things in the name and in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the laws of God that were written for the good of God's people are literally being hammered out in this time of the wanderings of the people of Israel after they came out of Egypt. And now Moses pauses the people, as it were, to preach to them this extended sermon. And we come to this point in the sermon where we discover what we might call a covenant renewal, where God is reminding the people that he is their God. That's the first part of the covenant, that God has bound himself to his people, and he's also going to remind them what their commitment to him looks like. And so we have this idea of covenant renewal. Now, there's no question on God's side of this covenant whether or not he's faithful. He's proven himself faithful again and again. That's what this whole history has been about so far. In spite of the fact that Israel has not been faithful, God has proven himself faithful again and again. The question is, will God's people be faithful to him? He's shown them all this grace. He's shown them all this mercy. This is a call to the people to be faithful. And I believe this addresses that age-old perennial problem of fickleness and unfaithfulness. Israel would have to look at itself, if they had any sense about themselves, and say, we've tried again and again and failed to be consistently devoted to God with our whole heart. We look at ourselves very much the same way. We look back on our lives and we recognize that we've struggled. Maybe there were times when we had a good and steady walk, and other times we falter, but we look back and remind ourselves, while God has been faithful, we have at times been fickle, and we need to kind of reset things, to refocus here. Well, sometimes a period of big change, like we're going through now, is a really good time to do that. For God's people who have been consistent in walking with Him, this is a good time to reflect back on how faithful God has been, and to redouble on our commitment to Him, to our devotion to Him. For those who maybe have been somewhat sloughing off their devotion to the Lord, maybe becoming kind of lackluster in their devotion, a good time to recommit, to revitalize their devotion to the Lord. Maybe there's some people who were sitting on the fence before we went into this time of lockdown as far as their faith is concerned, and maybe have been in church for years and years and have not committed their lives wholeheartedly to the Lord. This is a good time. It's a very important time. It's a day of grace to remember, to devote your heart wholeheartedly to the things of God, to God Himself. And then maybe there's somebody who's listening who's never even come close, and they're wondering what this is all about. This is a simple reminder that there is a God. There's one God. He's a holy God. And He's just and righteous, and He's our Creator. And if there are those who are not right with Him, they need to be made right with Him. God is holy, God is just, God meets out His righteous wrath against sinners, but God is also gracious, and He extends the gospel call to sinners to be made right with Him. And so this passage has a lot in it for all of us, I think. Moses has been preaching, and he's been reflecting on the things of God. And in verse 10 and 11, before we got to our passage, he's reminded us of something very important. Again, he's taken us through the wanderings in the wilderness. He's reminded us of God's faithfulness despite unfaithfulness. He's reminded us of the sinfulness, the depths that we can plunge ourselves into, by reminding us about the golden calf. And then pick up in verse 10. I myself stayed on the mountain as at the first time 40 days and 40 nights, and the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was unwilling to destroy you, and the Lord said to me, arise, go on your journey at the head of the people so that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God was on the brink of destroying His people. And you'll remember that Moses stood in the breach as the mediator, as the substitute, and God turned His wrath that He intended away by provoking Moses as the mediator to pray on behalf of the people. God was merciful and He spared them. And now, in light of all that, Moses makes a direct call to the people. If you see this as a sermon, this is that appeal. This is that appeal to surrender your heart to the Lord. In light of all that God is, of all who He is, and all He's done for the people of God, now is the time to make a full commitment to the Lord. Three major sections here. I realized as I started to break down this passage that there is sermon after sermon here. I can't help but think that Moses elaborated on all these points he makes. But I want us to look at it this way. First, look at verses 14 and 15. Behold the Lord your God. To the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Later on, he talks about how majestic and powerful and glorious the Lord is. So that's the first thing, is that God is absolutely sovereign, infinite, glorious, the one true and living God, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all things invisible and invisible, is all packed into verse 14. Then look at verse 15. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day. This infinite God, this all-glorious God, purely out of his grace, out of his redeeming love, has set favor on a certain people. That's who you are, Moses is saying to Israel. That's who you are, God is saying to the church throughout the ages. So be aware of who God is and be amazed that he called you to be his people. And then comes the appeal. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. That's the call. That's the gospel call. Here to the covenant people of God. And then we're going to find out, peppered all around that, are seven things that describe what that entails. You see how many sermons are right in this sermon. Sermons inside of this sermon. But God has called himself, God has bound himself to the people, and now he's called them to distinguish themselves from the rest of the world. And he gave them this distinguishing mark that we know as circumcision. Now, circumcision is rich in meaning. And I'm not going to elaborate on all that circumcision is or all that it implies here in this sermon, because I want to get to the heart of what Moses is getting to the heart of now, and other preachers, prophets in particular, and the Apostle Paul get to, that the true circumcision is an inward work of the powerful, powerful saving work of God, and it's the sanctifying work that the Christian, the believer, submits himself to. We'll get to how that works in just a minute. But that's what we're going to look at today, is what does it mean to circumcise your heart to the Lord? A circumcision was that mark that was a cut on the foreskin of all the males, and it showed that all the people of Israel, under the headship of the Lord, all belong to this covenant. And so God's people were marked. In fact, if the men weren't marked, they were cut off from Israel itself. They were cut off from the people of God. And so it was this outward mark that was to distinguish God's people, but it was always, always meant to be more than just an outward sign. And now Moses, in his sermon, makes this powerful argument, this persuasive speech to bring your hearts and have them be cut to the heart. Give yourself wholly to the Lord. And so we have this outward sign that signifies so much. But again, here Moses directs it right to the heart. And I believe that this is the solution to the fickleness of heart, to the unfaithfulness. If your heart, if your very soul, if the very depths of your being is given over to something, you will be resolutely committed to that, in this case, resolutely committed to the Lord and to his ways. And so this is a call to just that, to take your faith seriously, to take the faith that you profess seriously, to be fully dedicated with no turning back. Again, the outward sign included the whole visible household of God, and they were to be cut out from the world to serve him. He owns this community, but again, that's not enough. It's not just enough to be distinguished as a part of God's community, to be distinguished as a part of the church. There has to be more. That outward sign is not enough. There must be this inward, inner transformation. The people of Israel are proof of that very thing. Don't forget the fact that those who were worshiping the calf were all part of the circumcised outward household of God. Those 3,000 that were slaughtered because of their unfaithfulness to God and their leading people astray and plunging themselves into revelry were all circumcised. Probably the number is men. And so Moses is driving home the point, that is not enough. You must dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord. None of this half-hearted stuff. That won't cut it. That simply won't cut it. Here's how he puts it again. We'll read again verses 14 and 15. Behold the Lord your God, the long heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them above all peoples as you are this day. He alone is God. He loved us. And here's the therefore. Therefore, or circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. This dramatic metaphor is to cut us to the heart. Surrender over completely to the Lord. A call to willingly give your heart to the Lord. Now, you read Scripture and you recognize no one can save themselves. This is not about saving yourself. Later in Deuteronomy 30 and in other places, we'll discover that it's God who will circumcise the hearts of those who belong to him. But this is the appeal to you. This is the appeal to God's people. This is the appeal back then to the people, the covenant people of Israel. Bring your hearts to the Lord. Be cut to the heart. Surrender your heart to the Lord. It's all or nothing. No fence sitters. No lukewarmness. No going back and forth between two minds. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. All or nothing. And the more God's people are pressured, the more clear it's going to be who those are who have given all, as opposed to those who are waffling, those who are fence sitters, those who are lukewarm, those who keep going back and forth. And the people of Israel will be tested, and the church has been tested throughout the ages, and it's being tested today. Moses' call, all or nothing. Circumcise your hearts. Offer them to the Lord. What does that look like? Well, here's our seven things. And obviously, I'm not going to take time to elaborate fully on each one of them. But they're Moses' seven points of application. So I'll read them through first, and then I'll elaborate just a little bit on each one. But there are seven things, all in response to God who is glorious and God who is gracious. These are not things that will win anybody's salvation. That's impossible. It's by grace alone that we're saved. These are things that show that we're dedicated to the God of grace. Moses doesn't tell us why he highlights these seven. They very obviously hang together. Some of them overlap, but they all drive home the point of unwavering devotion with rapid fire. Seven things that are part of consistent dedication because of who we are in the Lord. Seven things that we need to pray about because who we are in ourselves. Fear God, walk in his ways, love him, serve him, obey him, cling to him, and bear his name appropriately. Those are seven things that Moses points out here. First of all, fear the Lord your God. He mentions that in verse 12 and in verse 20. But be constantly aware of who he is and who we are, that he is the creator. And without him, we don't even have the breath of life. We are absolutely nothing. Like some of you, I've been working in my garden some lately, digging in the dirt. And it dawned on me the other day as I'm digging in the dirt that that's what I'm made of. And if it were not for the fact that God breathed life, made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, breathed life into me, that's all I would be, is dirt. but the Creator God made for himself people to glorify him, the crown of his creation, and then redeemed the likes of us to serve him and honor him and to fear him. He is Almighty God, and we are these puny little dust creatures. Glorious as we are, crown of creation as we are, he's God. And he's mighty and he's awesome and he is to be feared as God. In light of that, it really is amazing that everything that follows doesn't conflict with that for the child of God. Because the child of God both fears this infinite God, but draws near very intimately with this God at the very same time, with wholehearted, you might say comfortable, devotion. And so what follows? Walk in his ways. Walk in his righteousness. Walk in his wisdom. Walk humbly before him. The way you're living your life going forward, walk with the Lord. Be near to him. Ask him to draw near to you constantly. But now is the time to be on that straight path. You might look back at your life and say, I look back at my life and I look like a staggering drunk in my faith. I've been wavering, weaving back and forth. Today is the day to set the path straight by his grace to walk in his ways. The next one is love. That's central to all of it. God loved us. We in turn love him. Central to it all, our heart given to God. It's the sum of the commands. It's all encompassing. It's all that we are and it's all that we do as an expression of love to God. Emotion, affection, certainly, we can't extract that, but devotion and obedience. As I said, they tie together. Serve the Lord. Whatever you do is under his government, under his kingdom. Whether you eat or whether you drink, do it all unto him. Obey. Seems to summarize it all again. But obedience from the heart. Because you love the Lord. Because you love the Lord, you love his commandments. It's so helpful to keep in mind when we are striving to obey. By the way, it's not wrong to strive to obey. To be diligent in our pursuit of the commandments of God. To remember that, first of all those commandments are ultimately for his glory and then for the good of others. But keep in mind they're for our good as well. God gave us these things because he loves us. What a dramatic shift from those things being a burden to things that are an expression of God's love towards us and our love towards him. We're to cling to him. Constantly recognize our dependence upon him. Stay near to him. Cling to him. God doesn't get annoyed when we're clinging. He expects it. He knows how much we need him. And then finally to bear his name appropriately. That's verses 14 and 15. He alone is God. He gets all the glory. Soli Deo Gloria. We have the privilege of bearing his name. We're God's people. We're Christians. And we look at ourselves and we look at just these seven things and we realize we keep falling away from these things. And we ask ourselves, what will bring any consistency? It's this: we need surgery. What? Yes, we need our hearts circumcised. Something radical, something deeper, something permanent, something life transforming. That's verse 16. I love the way that Moses sums it all up. Who is God to you? Moses says, verse 21, he is your praise. He is the focus of all that you are, all that you were made for, all that you were remade for. He is your worship. And if your life is worship, it's worship unto Him alone. Well, God never forsakes His people, and He gives great promises to the people of Israel and people in generations to come. And I don't have time to elaborate on all that the Lord promises for God's people in the land ahead. But here are some verses from the Old Testament that should encourage us and inspire us and that push us right to the New Testament. And then will give us some help and application. Deuteronomy 30, as I said later, on the Lord will tell the people what He will do for them. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and that you may live. God is going to do this great work of salvation in the heart of His people. Prophet Ezekiel, I will give them one heart and a new spirit and I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them the heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. All those promises are fulfilled ultimately in Christ. The work of Christ and then the Holy Spirit applying that to all who believe. We have to come to that central event, the whole meaning of this whole history of redemption, all throughout the Old Testament, pointing ahead to Christ. And we come there and we recognize that all is fulfilled in Christ, very specifically on a cross of wood, where the sign of circumcision, for instance, is fulfilled because there's no more need for bloody sacrifice. All these things, all these ritual things in the Old Testament are fulfilled, even circumcision itself fulfilled, the end of bloody rites. And the matter is settled as Christ Himself keeps all the commandments, as Christ Himself fulfills perfectly all these seven things that I mentioned that Moses preached. It's all been settled for the people of God, but the issue remains. Even after the work of Christ, the establishment of the Christian church, which Paul refers to as Israel, we are the Israel. Paul says we are the circumcision. The question remains, and maybe even more intensely because we have more revelation than the people of God in Israel. We have the whole of the Old Testament. We have all of the gospel. The call is, where are you with your devotion to the Lord? Are you wholeheartedly given over to the Lord? And the actual application applies to us as well. He loved us, therefore circumcise your hearts to the Lord. It's an appeal to your heart. And you know how Israel, when they wandered around and in their fickleness, they often wondered, does God really love us? And I wonder about myself and about you if I were wandering around in the wilderness with all the things they underwent, even with all the glorious signs that God showed to Israel, if you wouldn't wonder, does God really love us after all? But if we have any question, if you have any question in your mind whether God loved you or not, go to the cross. That's how we know what love is. And if that doesn't tug your heart in a direction to wholehearted devotion to the Lord, I don't know. I don't know what would. Jesus died on the cross. He atoned for our sins. He rose up from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of glory. And He sent out His Holy Spirit. And for those who believe, He pours His Holy Spirit out on them and He takes our hearts of stone and turns them into flesh. But we still have to deal with this whole issue of the covenant and who's in the covenant and who is the church. There's certainly this outward, still this outward visible sign of God's people. This is a call, I believe, first and foremost to the covenant people. Certainly to the world to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a call to the covenant people, a reminder that it takes more than an outward sign. Paul puts it this way, especially for the Jews. Romans 2, 28, 29, no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly. Nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And so there's a parallel call to the covenant people of God. Back then, when they were dealing with the whole issue of bringing in the Gentiles and preaching to Jews and Gentiles, the issue is this: whether you're circumcised or not, your heart must be given over to the Lord. For the church today, whether you're baptized or not, your heart must be given over to the Lord. Without genuine commitment, conversion, however you want to describe it, if there's not an inward work, that outward sign is just that. It's special, it's profound, it's a sacrament of God's church. But you get the point that the bearing here in Moses' sermon and throughout the text of Scripture is that it has to do with your very soul. And it has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit applying the work of Christ to your lives. But again, the call is, where are you? Gospel appeal to the covenant people of God. What will you do with all this? Again, I believe there's a gospel call here to those who are in the world, who are not part of the covenant. And again, those who really don't understand what this is all about. Again, there's a God who is holy, who punishes sin, but is gracious and kind, and he provides a way of salvation through Christ. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The covenant people of God. Maybe there are some who call themselves Christians, but are sitting on a fence, living for the world. Today, this calls us to change. This calls us to surrender. And be in the body of Christ, be baptized. But your heart is not circumcised. Your heart is not baptized unto the Lord. Maybe you've been lackluster in your faith. Today is a day to say, God loves me. He's been faithful to me. I've been inconsistent. I've been lackluster. And I've been reminded of how much God has done for me and who he is. Today is the day I will surrender my heart. Anew, recommit to the Lord. Perhaps you're devout. You might say, I believe I'm a totally dedicated to the Lord. What more can I do? Well, we know ourselves, and we know that wherever we're at, that we still fall short. We've not arrived. And so consider this call from so long ago, from the greatest of all Old Testament prophets, Moses, reiterated later by the great apostle Paul, but proclaimed by the prophet of prophets, the one greater than all, Jesus Christ himself. Repent and believe. Take up your cross and follow me, says Jesus, genuinely, from the heart. in response to this glorious God, this gracious God. May God grant us the grace to bring our hearts in wholehearted devotion to Him today and from here on out, and indeed forever. Let's pray. Merciful and mighty God, we once again thank you for your word. And as we hear the words that you spoke through your prophet Moses so long ago, we can't help but recognize that we are really not all that different from our forefathers and mothers of Israel, who were often so fickle, often so inconsistent in faith and trust and belief, so often rebellious, resistant to the very things you've given to us out of your love. Lord, we look at our brothers and sisters back then in that ancient nation that you called your own, and we realize that we have so much more in so many ways, because we live in a day when we have seen the glorious extent of your love in sending your Son, our Lord Jesus, the extent of his love in bearing our sins on the cross. And you've burned that love into our hearts through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Belonging to you, Lord, we want to hold nothing back. We offer you once again today our very hearts, rededicating. Lord, we pray, if we've been fickle, if we've been lackluster, if we've been teetering back and forth, if we've been lukewarm, Lord, today we pray that you would restore us, renew us, stir us up, revive us again, we plead with you. That you would receive all the glory because you are worthy of all glory. That we would thoroughly acknowledge your wonderful grace to sinners like us and calling a people to yourself. But that these things would be the very things that burn in the very depths of our hearts, so that we might live our lives more fully for you, with hearts fully devoted to you, our God of salvation. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 642, Be Thou My Vision, and will please stand when we sing. Thank you. Before I pronounce the benediction, I want to remind you, or let you know, actually, that our doxology is, "Thou art worthy." We can't put the words up, but I think most of us know the words. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.